And so in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places, by the way, in the paths of places of paths." Now, what he's talking about, these high altitudes and the places of the paths, other translation translate that path as crossroads. This is high altitudes. Wisdom is high, like on a mountaintop, where the crossroads of life meet, where decisions have to be made, where you're being pressured into making some kind of a decision. The wisdom of God is high. It can see over the horizon and let you know where that decision is leading. And he always leads us, what, into truth. He will guide us into all truth, right? What does truth do? It lets you free. It gets you free. "Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in," she. This is the nurturing, motherly type of power of the Holy Spirit. "She stands in the top of high places, by the way of the places in the paths, the crossroads of life where decisions have to be made." Some of you have faced ultimatums where your employment is concerned, and you're very nervous. Nervousness is meditation on the word of the devil. Faith is meditating on the word of God. Amen? Verse 3, she, wisdom, the nurturing, compassionate, mothering nature of the Holy Spirit. "She cries at the gates." This is the cry of a mother who wants to see the very best thing happen for her children or her child. "She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." What gates is he talking about? What are entryways? What are these doors of coming in? What's that referring to? Well, the Bible compares us to a city. Did you know you're a city? You are. Jesus said, "You are a light on a hill, a shining. You are a city." Now, he said this, and let's go to a good picture of this is in Proverbs 25, verse 28. And he said, "He who has no rule over his spirit is what? Like a city that's broken down." God doesn't want us broken down. He wants us built up. That's why he says, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you pray in the Holy, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. He wants us built up. He wants the walls of our life strong, fortified. "He has no rule over his spirit. It's like a city that's broken down without walls." That's this country right now. Hello? But wisdom is crying out. The gates into our lives are the eye gates, the ear gates, and the coming in of the doors are kind of a couple of things. It refers to, number one, our words. Open and close doors into our life. Our words either give inroads to the devil or inroads to the power of God. What we say gives entry. What we say either enables our high priest and mediator of the new covenant, who is the Lord Advocate General of the church, it either enables him to mediate on our behalf or not. Your words. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ." He is sent. He's the apostle and high priest. He was the sent one to mediate what you say. And if you're repeating the words of the devil, if you're repeating the words that your body is saying, if you're repeating the words that your finances are saying to you, if you say, who told you were broke? Who told you were naked? Who told you that you were sick? Who told you that you're hurting? Who told you? Who's trying to sell you a package? You could say, Lord, these are my circumstances, but I confess your word is true concerning me, that I have no need that you cannot meet. And therefore, I confess that my needs are met according to your riches and glory. Now you're giving Jesus words to work with. You're giving him some substance to work with. Substance. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. The gates into our lives are our eye gates, the things that we're looking at. Also, that's what you're meditating on. What your eyes are filled with is what you're meditating on. Your ear gate, what you hear. What comes by hearing?
Faith.
What else comes by hearing? Fear. Faith and fear are the same thing, going in opposite directions. We were talking this a little at the golf course yesterday, or Friday. So our words are one way that we open doors, the gates of our entryways. Also, our reaction to situations. That shows the devil exactly what you believe, the way you react in situations. The doors of our life are open and closed as simply as uttering words that come into agreement with negative situations or forecasting negative situations or outcomes. Well, you know me, it never turns out good for me. You know that faith stuff, that doesn't work for me. You know, I heard that you can have what you say. It never works for me. Oh, it just did. It just did. You believe it didn't work for you, and it didn't work for you. Well, I tried that. It doesn't say anything about trying. If you... There's a verse that says, I press on towards the mark of the high calling. You know what some of the modern translations say? I do my very best and try as hard as I can. The Bible never talks... God doesn't tell us to try anything. Nothing. No, not one thing. He doesn't tell us to try. That would implicate you could fail. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 doesn't say that. It says, faith is your best effort. Does it say that? No, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. There's no trying in faith. Remember that? League of Their Own. Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball. There's no trying in faith. It doesn't say, be ye therefore triers of the word. You need to get the word try out of your vocabulary. Just do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Get it out, get it out. Oh, I tried. Well, that's why you failed, because you tried and you didn't do it. If you did the word, you'll get what the word says you get. Come on, take some correction here. Back to Proverbs 8, verse 1. Let's go to verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. God's word, the Holy Spirit, wisdom speaks excellence. Excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination in my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward. That means vulgar or unsavory. Or perverse, which is distorted, crooked, or false. The words of wisdom are pure truth. Not shades of truth, not kind of true, pure truth. The words of wisdom are pure truth. Verse 9. They are all plain to him that understands. Boy, I'll tell you, that's why you, in all you're getting, get understanding. Then the wisdom of the Holy Spirit will be very plain to you. They're all plain to him who understands, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. This is not saying that money is bad and you need to get rid of that stuff. He's not saying that. That's inconsistent with the teachings of scriptures. In fact, in verse 18, it says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So he's not talking about get rich, but if you seek wisdom. Look at Solomon. Solomon, what did Solomon ask for when he became king? He asked for wisdom and understanding, the ability to walk before the people. He asked for that, and God, what happened was God gave him that wisdom, and he became the wealthiest man probably in the history of the world. He became a business genius. He allied with, he made Jerusalem, Israel, the crossroads of commerce. Everything he did turned to gold. Everything he did brought riches in. Why? Because he wasn't seeking them. He was seeking wisdom, and God gave it to him. Donald Trump, I saw a quote. Do you remember the book written back in the early 80s by Donald Trump called The Art of the Deal? This is before president or anything. And he said this, money was never a big motivation for me, except as a way to keep score. The real excitement is playing the game. That's what he loved doing. And he was doing what he loved. And he had a lot of wisdom and a lot of work. I mean, he had wisdom way beyond his years when he was a young man in wheeling and dealing. Money is the aftermath of a game that's already been played. It's the result of what's really important, and that is the boldness of wisdom to make the right decisions. And there are times when he had to make decisions, and he said, you know what, I really should do this. And he never studied markets or anything like that. He just did in here what was right. And when he did what was right, it all came out right. Now, there were some things that he declared bankruptcy in certain things. That's a financial strategy when you are an entrepreneur, starting many businesses. But money is what happens after the decisions are made, after the business is written and closed and done. It's a scorecard. The important thing is to understand the process and its sequences. That's wisdom. Know what's going on in here. See, what I'm saying right now is going into these ears, but you need to pay attention on the inside and what the wisdom of God is telling you on the inside. So how do we access wisdom? Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength, boldness of wisdom. Wisdom is bold because wisdom knows the end from the beginning. You getting anything out of this, guys?
Yes.
Counsel is mine. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, everything that the Holy Spirit has is Jesus's, right? And you are in Christ as a what? Joint heir with Christ. So God's counsel is yours anytime you need it. You have a counselor that lives on the inside of you, and it's a good counselor. He will lead you into all truth. He will empower you. He'll give you the boldness that you need when you need it. Ask for wisdom, believe you receive it, walk as if you have it, and it'll show up when you need it. Don't ask me to repeat that. He said, counsel is mine. That means it's yours. Why is this in the Bible? Sound wisdom. I am understanding. Well, I am his. and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. Verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early will find me. God's not playing hide and seek. He's telling you to seek and find. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Wisdom was there when this entire universe was created. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, see, God needed wisdom in order to do this. He says, when there was no, I was brought forth. When you need an answer, you need to bring forth that wisdom that's on the inside of you. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. He knows how this whole thing was put together, every atom, to every big rock, to everything. He knows all of the centrifugal forces of the universe, gravity, things that you can't see and have no imagination of how they work. He knows exactly how they work, and he can show you these things. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depths. Do you know, it says, I believe it's in Isaiah or Jeremiah, but it says that God will take a drop from the oceans and measure it in his hand. Measure the entire breadth of the open by the drop that he puts in his hand. Wisdom. Why? Because he can decipher it. He can know how big everything is just from that one drop. From one word that you say to him, he knows everything that's going on in your heart. Everything. There's nothing hidden from him. For we are naked and open before him with whom we have to do, the Bible says. And he still loves you. Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah, I can get that. I can fellowship with that. See, here's the thing, and we were talking about this, Pete and I were talking about this the other night. God's not so much, you have a relationship with God already. You have a relationship. You know, I have a relationship with my father. He's my father. He will always be my father, Bob Totten. He hadn't been on the earth since 1995. He's been dead for 26 years. And I still have a relationship, but I'm not fellowshipping with him. God desires that relationship with us, but he wants fellowship with us. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear, Father, I love you, and I am so thankful that you've given Jesus for me. Jesus, thank you so much. Just start fellowshipping with him. Start emptying yourself from the cares of this life. Give it over to him. Tell him what your cares are. Now, don't start telling everybody else what your cares are, but tell him. Because he can go, yeah, okay, that's, yeah, come on, keep it coming. Oh, got it all. That's how you cast your cares on him. Fellowship with him. Get to know him. And you know what? Pretty soon, he'll start talking back to you. Actually, he's talking all the time, but you're getting to the place where you can hear him because you're starting to fellowship with him and empty yourself of the things that are blocking that fellowship. That's good. Thank you. Actually, it's the Lord. Give him all the glory. Look at this. Prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. I don't know what that means in English, but when he appointed the foundations of the earth, he knows what's holding this thing together. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, always rejoicing before him. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken to me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. He doesn't want us to keep his ways just to please him. He wants his blessing to come on us. That's why he says, keep my ways, because it'll bring his blessing into your life. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, awaiting the posts of my doors. Oh, speak his word. Speak his word. For who? What in the world was that? Creation. For whoso finds me finds life and obtains favor of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus here, growing up with the Father. Before everything ever was, he was there watching the whole thing. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, Christ is made unto us wisdom. When you receive Jesus, you receive the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God lives inside of you. All the counsel you'll ever need is right inside of you. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what's good. You know what's bad. You know what's righteous and what's unrighteous. You know what's vulgar and what's good. Amen? You know what's clean. You know what's dirty. You know these things. We okay, Phil? He that finds me, verse 35... He who finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me, how can you sin against wisdom? It's when you choose your own words. When you look at a situation that's saying one thing and you agree with it. When you see no outcome and you bow your knee to it and say, I can't see any way out of this. Well, that's a problem. You're walking by sight, not by faith. He that sins against me wrongs his own soul, it says in verse 36. All they that hate me love death. You know, I'm just reading through this. You know, we think we have problems forced into taking a vaccine or forced into wearing a mask. All that does is bring up attitudes out of us. That are negative attitudes and superiority attitudes. You know, the thing is, I'm going to tell you about three men right now. A man named Daniel, who was faced with life and death situations more than once. I mean, this is life, and this is not what we would call a good death. He was a man who studied and followed the scriptures. He meditated on the word constantly. He fellowshipped and prayed to the Father. He received wisdom's counsel. And he wasn't afraid to declare it. But God showed him all that an excellent way to come before Nebuchadnezzar, to come before Belshazzar, and to come before Darius, three kings that he outlasted all of them. God raised him up through that constant fellowship with him, praying with him, studying the scriptures. We know he studied the scriptures, and we know he did the word of God, because in the first chapter, it says we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's food. We know that he studied. And he refused to put in his body what many people are refusing to put in their body now. Amen. But there's an excellent way to do it. He said to the prince of the eunuchs, he said, hey, let me run this by you. We don't want to defile ourselves. That is what we believe about that food. Now, and I know it tastes good and everything and whatever, but let's do an experiment. Let us do our vegetables and the things that we know are good for us. And then after 10 days, examine us. It's not going to hurt anyone. Nobody's going to know, just you and us, and see if we're not better. And after 10 days, he knew the outcome because he was wise. And God gave him this idea, and he just shared it with the prince of the eunuchs. And what happened was, after 10 days, they were fine. They were better and fairer than all of the other eunuchs. You have the answer in you, too. You know an excellent way to approach your boss or your whoever, if they're making that. Now, by the way, this 100-man thing, if you work, they're mandating a vaccine. Look, we elect local officials, local judges, local, to carry out our wishes. Right?
Yes.
We elect our school board officials to carry out our wishes. This is grassroots stuff. Now all of this stuff is top down, and it's coming from the top down, which is socialism.
Yes.
And it has a 100% failure rate because it evokes something in the human nature called rebellion. When it's mandated you do this, mandated you do that, mandate under the guise that it's good for everybody and it's good for nobody. Look, go to the CDC and you can find these reports on those who've taken the vaccine. Over 15,000 people died within a few days after they took this vaccine or are having terrible nervous disorders, kidney, blood clots, and everything else. The CDC stats. And they say this. Dr. Ryan Cole said, usually what happens is with the CDC, they only list about 10% of what is really out there that's actually reported. So if it's 15,000, it could be 150,000 people. In fact, Olichka and her family lived right next door to a woman, totally healthy, took the vaccine. 3 days later, she was dead. It's dangerous. Now, if you've taken the vaccine or anything at this point, don't worry about it. I mean, if nothing negative has happened to you. But look, the vaccines, this, now they say federal, the FDA has approved it. No, they haven't.
Right.
They have not. All they've done is approve the experimental status of it. They're not going to take responsibility. Right. They don't want lawsuits for millions of dollars coming from millions of people. God's merciful to us, though. But Daniel was faced with this, and he said, look, let's do this. He had an excellent way of going about, and God brought him into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. If he did it for Daniel, he'd do it for you. He'd give you favor. Oh, hallelujah. Mordecai. How about Mordecai? How many of you don't know who Mordecai is in the Bible? You all know. Okay, good. He was Esther's uncle. He refused to bow to this self-serving egomaniac named Haman. And so Haman finally figured out a way that he could sentence Haman to death by hanging. And do you know what happened to Haman? He died on the very gallows that he created for Mordecai.
That's right.
Because Mordecai did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did the word. And he brought up his daughter to do the word. And she did the right thing. And she went up to the king. And then Mordecai, like Daniel, was raised through Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. There was nobody who had more rule in Babylon or the Medes and Persian government than Daniel. He was second to the king in all three governments. Mordecai was raised to the same place by King Ahasuerus. I think that's how you say his name. Ahasuerus. That's where Mordecai was promoted to because he simply did the word. See, the word will promote you. The word will bring you into that high place that God's prepared for you before the world began. Wisdom. This is wisdom. Joseph stood before Pharaoh, who summoned Joseph to interpret his dream, and God and he said to Pharaoh, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, that was a gauntlet. We don't know that it loses in translation here. That was a gauntlet. Pharaoh, the name Pharaoh is Pharao, Pharao. The Ra in the middle is the name of the Egyptian deity, the highest god in Egypt, and Pharaoh was considered God in the earth. And when Joseph stood before him and said, God will give Pharaoh, he was promoting his God to be above Pharaoh. That was a gauntlet. But he stood there, what? Boldly, confidently, humbly, saying, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Through three kings, Daniel said, Jehovah, my God, is the Most High God. And each of them acknowledged it too. But they kept on carrying on with their own gods and their own mysticism and cultish things that they did. Daniel ended up in the winner's circle. Mordecai ended up in the winner's circle. And I think you know that here's what it says in Genesis. It says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed this to you, he's acknowledging it, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck and made him to ride in the second chariot. There was nobody higher. And he said, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler of all the land of Egypt. From the pit to the palace in 1 hour. Wisdom sees the end from the beginning and acts accordingly. Wisdom looks into the word and extracts what's necessary for this hour. Wisdom accesses the power of God, the strength of God. Wisdom works with faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and doesn't find fault. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You've got to get in the Word. The Word has to be your main diet. It just does. Some of you need to fast from the TV. Fast from that newspaper, that rag. It's all lies. That's all they are. And then you wonder why you have no faith. You're listening to lies. They're saying, cue! Some people get offended when I say that, but look, next time you want healing, if you've been in Q all that time, QAnon and all this stuff, QAnon's not going to heal you. The Word of God will heal you. Seek God, fellowship with God. Relate to God in all things. Acknowledge Him, and He'll guide your paths, the Bible says. That's wisdom. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask in faith. Don't question it. Don't let your mind say, well, you really think you just got wisdom? You? See, you got to ignore that. Turn that stuff off. Turn a deaf ear to it. You know what? You guys with a remote, do you know how easy it is to change a channel with that remote? It's easier to change the channel in your mind. If your mind starts coming up with negative things, change the channel. How do you do that? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and I have seen it and bear witness and show you that eternal life that was with the Father and lives big in me now. Start meditating on the word of God. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You just changed the channel. And in 1 second, you can go from a loser in this battle to standing in the winner's circle with a collar of roses around your neck. Run for the roses. Seek God, fellowship with Him. Ask Him for wisdom, but ask Him in faith. Believe you receive it. I have a whole lot more here. But it's one after lunch. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so precious. Your words are precious to us. Your words are life. Lord, from this moment on, we just refuse to give our voice to what our bodies are saying. We refuse to give voice because we know that you've already taken care of it. You've already released truth from the throne room of God concerning my condition. And that truth makes me free when I agree with it here on earth. I thank you for the power of my words. I will not submit them to anything but your wisdom. And I will boldly declare your wisdom and your final will for me and my life is in me now. And I will declare that from now until I go to be with you. Thank you, Father, that my cares, that I am free from those. They're not my cares. They're the things the devil is trying to sell me. And I'm not buying. Because I've been bought by the blood of Jesus who leads me into truth, who was there at the beginning, who knows everything there that's needed to be known. And I find my answers in your word. Thank you, Father, that even as Jesus grew up with you, knowing all these things, that the teacher of all those things lives in me, lives big in me, in my fellowship, and my conversation is in heaven. Thank you that you see after all the things that are here in the earth. I access my ministry of angels who will do your will in my life, who will fulfill your words as I speak them and give voice to them, hearkening unto that word. I have an innumerable company of angels. I have come to Mount Zion, the city of the King. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.